From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
In opposition-held eastern Aleppo, at least 289 people have reportedly been killed since Tuesday. One Syrian volunteer reported 180 airstrikes on eastern Aleppo on Saturday alone.
That was the U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations, Samantha Power, speaking Monday at a session of the U.N. Security Council in New York City.
Think of what you were doing on Saturday and imagine being subjected to 180 airstrikes while you were doing it.
Power read a list of specific allegations against Syria and Russia regarding the fighting in East Aleppo. Shortly thereafter, at the Daily State Department press briefing in Washington, D.C., State Department spokesperson John Kirby had no specifics.
Again, she's saying we have sources that give us this information, you know, that they have eyewitnesses on the ground. Could you tell us who these eyewitnesses might be? Who are they?
No, I don't have a list of every eyewitness that that provides information, and I'm not sure why that would be relevant.
Back in New York, Power offered only YouTube videos as evidence of her allegations.
Horrifying video from eastern Aleppo affirms a shocking, inhuman barrage on civilian neighborhoods. Of course, we will hear today from the Syrian regime, the Russian Federation. We will hear a very different narrative.
But actually, the U.S. Permanent Representative to the United Nations heard from neither Syria nor Russia as she and her colleagues from the UK and France walked out. This was the Deputy Permanent Representative to the United Nations from the Russian Federation detailing Power's boycott.
Mr. President, I simply wanted to state for the record of our record that within the Security Council, what we're witnessing is introducing an unacceptable behavioral culture when the Permanent Representative of the Syrian Arab Republic, some permanent representative, get up and leave in a demonstrable manner. We think it means that they do not have enough courage to listen to this statement made by a colleague. A colleague in this profession. And this is unacceptable. Thank you.
Power missed the statement by Syria's permanent representative, Bashar al-Jafari, who made the following comments.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. J'aimerais bien.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to join in with the noble words just uttered by my colleague, the representative of the Russian Federation. Vis-a-vis myself. Having said that, and because the three musketeers have left the chamber, and the protagonists of the system of the moral fog are putting themselves in a state where they cannot poison our discussions, important discussions about my own country, Syria, I can therefore now deliver my statement in peace.
Mr. President, at the outset, let me welcome Ms. Hoff, who joins us from Damascus, the oldest capital in the world. And to UN personnel in my country, I say welcome. You are witnesses on the ground who can duly inform this Security Council with far more accurate information than UN bureaucrats here in New York. Mr. President, allow me first to share an information with my colleagues on another atrocity committed by warplanes of the so-called international coalition led by the United States against Syrian civilians. More than 10 civilians lost their lives in a raid by said airplanes of the United States against the village of Al-Salihiyah in northern rural Raqqa. Other warplanes of the same coalition targeted a cotton mill in the same village, Salihiyah. This led to the death of three workers and an entire family that was displaced from another area living in the village, six civilians in all. This is today's development at the hands of U.S. warplanes. Naturally, I will not respond to some statements by some distinguished colleagues. I do, however, want to respond to the statement by the United States, namely that an eyewitness among the terrorists sponsored by the United States in eastern Aleppo, a witness allegedly told her that Syrian and Russian warplanes had undertaken 180 air raids on Saturday alone. Now, naturally, and considering that she is an expert diplomat, of course, she believed this eyewitness, who, at the end of the day, is an al-Nusra terrorist, that her own government qualified as a terrorist in this very August Council. What hypocrisy is this? What lies are these that we hear in these unnecessary meetings on the humanitarian situation in my country? She then mendaciously claimed that leaflets were dropped by the Syrian Air Force telling civilians in eastern Aleppo, leave or you shall die. This, at least, is what was stated by the representative of the United States. Now, such talk is lies upon lies. Frankly, it's shameful. The Syrian Air Force did drop leaflets on eastern Aleppo, calling on civilians to move away from armed terrorist groups in the city and to leave eastern Aleppo. The Syrian government opened six humanitarian corridors for the civilians and two for whatever fighters wished to leave eastern Aleppo. However, the terrorists, of course, did not leave. They did not let the civilians leave because they used them as human shields. At any rate, if there are governments who are concerned with those terrorists in eastern Aleppo, well, why don't you take them? Give them a passport or give them visas and take them. If the U.S. representative believes that the arrival of 8,000 armed terrorists from eastern Aleppo to the United States will help the Syrian people, take them. Take them, particularly that they're mostly non-Syrian. This very August Council, in a special report from the Counterterrorism Committee, stated that there are approximately 80,000 foreign terrorists in my country who came from a number of the member states of this organization. This was stated by your counsel. This seems to have met deaf ears with the US, UK, and French ambassadors. Now, as for Mr. O'Brien's statement, he did not refer once to terrorism. Not once was the word terrorism stated, as if there is no terrorism whatsoever in my country, as if terrorism is just a cartoon in the minds of some, Tom and Jerry. As for my colleague, the ambassador of Uruguay, well, I respect what he said. However, he rightly wondered, who, what is this God? What are these values that compel a terrorist to kill civilians? A rightful question. However, the reply is in the hundreds of letters that we have sent you over 5 years, hundreds of letters stating who is doing what on Syrian land, hundreds of letters where we explained the presence of terrorists on the ground, where you took resolution after resolution, a specific resolution on foreign armed mercenaries, and yet some in this council still don't know which god, which religion, which takfiris have brought this Saudi Qatari plight, blight in my country, as if some are simply ignorant of this fact. As if what the takfiris are doing is going on in Somalia, not in Syria. My dear friend, distinguished ambassador of Uruguay, the terrorists are the takfiris, the takfiri terrorists that are influenced of the Saudi Wahhabi thinking. In other words, anybody that doesn't share your extremist views is a takfiri, is an infidel. What Daesh and al-Nusra do is exactly market the very same ideas prevailing in Saudi Arabia. They have exported their terror to us. They brought terrorists to us from all over the world. Australians, Canadians, French, Belgians, Spaniards, Chinese, Russians. The entire garbage pail of terrorism of the world has been heaped on us. And then some wonder what is going on in Syria, who's killing who, why doesn't humanitarian assistance reach Eastern Aleppo? Who is hampering this humanitarian assistance to Eastern Aleppo? As if these questions need a key to be answered after 5 years of criminality against my country. This terrorism is the very one prevailing in Iraq, in Libya, in Egypt, everywhere, in Kenya, in Somalia, in Tanzania, in Niger, in Chad, in Nigeria. The same terrorism. The roots are the same. Why do we all, without exception, support the fight by the Iraqi government and the popular mobilization against terrorism? Well, because it's a rightful right. The Iraqi government is fighting terrorism. We are fighting the very same terrorism in Syria. Terrorism in Aleppo is the same as terrorism in Mosul. So why are we being accused? While the very same who criticize us support those who are fighting the same terrorism in Mosul. It's ISIL here and it's ISIL there. Why this double standard? Also, Let's not forget the U.S. air raid against the Syrian Arab army in Deir ez-Zor. So now ISIL is besieging Deir ez-Zor. There are 300,000 in Deir ez-Zor getting food drops simply because the U.S. Air Force struck at the Syrian Arab army in Deir ez-Zor. Perhaps the U.S. representative recalls the theatrics at the meeting immediately following. Oh, well, it was a mistake. We struck them by mistake, she said. Mistake. But 2 days later, every single civilian bridge on the Euphrates was also struck. Perhaps a mistake. I don't know. Indeed, the power generation plant, the infrastructure was struck in eastern Aleppo also. Is this the objective? Is this the objective of the U.S. Air Force? When Manbij is struck by the French Air Force, 200 victims, the UK Air Force, the very same thing. This is senseless. Mr. President, the statements by some states and the statements of the Undersecretary General for Humanitarian Affairs met our expectations. For the 33rd time, the same negative, erroneous approach has been taken. It is one of distorting facts. It is one of trading with and making light of the suffering of the Syrian people, the politicization of the humanitarian file in order to demonize the Syrian government, to create a terror statelet in my country, Syria. This is the plan, a terror statelet in Syria. This is a fact. A terrorist entity that gets the support of the Western sponsors of terrorism. This is proof, once again, that such states, such parties have no will or desire to end the suffering of our people through their denial of the root cause of the crisis in Syria. And let me repeat, I say repeat, we reject that the crisis in my country, Syria, is dealt with in the absence of a serious consideration of its root causes. It is the spread of armed terrorist groups, the bringing of tens of thousands of foreign terrorist fighters supported by well-known states, their deployment in neighborhoods, villages, towns, and cities where they use civilians as human shields. Let me repeat, I say repeat, that some states that use the suffering of the Syrian people as cheap coin to implement their political agendas through claiming to be concerned for their security and well-being are the main reason for this suffering. Through their direct support to armed terrorist groups or through the imposing of unilateral coercive measures that affect the Syrian citizen directly. Let me repeat, I say repeat, no one in this world is more keen as a government and the people to preserve the lives of Syrian citizens, whether in Aleppo, Daraa, Damascus, or Raqqa, or any other place where civilians suffer because of the practices of armed terrorists, the groups that use civilians as human shields, that lay siege to them in their towns and villages, that prevent them from leaving such regions, or that prevent the arrival of humanitarian assistance, or indeed that sells such assistance at enormous prices. Let me repeat again, in light of this bitter fact, any government, including the Syrian government, based on moral and legal obligations, must save those citizens from becoming hostages to such terrorists. Mr. President, what some states, what some parties like to call non-state armed opposition groups, yesterday, 20 November, perpetrated a new horrific crime, one that was premeditated when terrorists in the Bustan al-Qasr neighborhood in eastern Aleppo launched a number of missiles against two schools, Al-Furqan and Sariyat Hassoun, in the Al-Furqan community of western Aleppo. This killed 10 children aged between 7 and 12, and the wounding of 59 others, including a teacher, a female teacher, whose leg had to be amputated. And these are the pictures of the school that was struck in western Aleppo by the so-called moderate armed groups, those genetically modified armed groups, as I like to call them. Perhaps some of you are not interested in seeing such photographs, don't want to speak about them. And by the way, Sari Hassoun is the name of the school. And 5 years ago, I spoke to this council and stated that armed terrorist groups had killed the son of the top mufti in Syria, named Sari Hassoun. That was named, the school, after the son of Syria's mufti, killed by terrorists 5 years ago. And today, they are striking at the school named after him. Now, in addition to striking those two schools, the terrorists of Jabhat al-Nusra and the Nur ad-Din al-Zanki movement, supported by Turkey, as well as other terrorist groups classified by Washington, Paris, and London as moderate armed groups, whose mercenaries they pay and whose funds and weapons they provide, including mercenaries from all over the world, also fired on the law school and the Mogambo and Midan neighborhoods, leading to the killing of two and the wounding of 33 others. Furthermore, missiles launched by the same groups against Al-Adhamiyya and Saif al-Dawla neighborhoods in western Aleppo led to the falling of two and the wounding of seven others. Mr. President, these attacks by terrorist armed groups coincide with another truce, the third of its kind since the 9th of September, declared by the Syrian government and its allies in the city of Aleppo. Please recall what I said, the third truce since 9 September, which goes completely counter to what the U.S. ambassador said. Indeed, that 180 air raids were conducted against eastern Aleppo. Imagine this ridiculous talk coming from the representative of a superpower. Now, the truces declared by the Syrian government and its allies call for safe passage for any armed persons in leaving the area or regularizing their situation or taking their personal weapons to another place of their choice in order to return a natural life to the eastern part of Aleppo. I'm talking about the east side of Aleppo, not the east side of Glasgow or France or Marseille or Manhattan. No, 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 no. Eastern Aleppo is a Syrian city. The objective is to allow state institutions to continue providing services and fulfill the needs of all citizens who wish to remain in eastern Aleppo. Regrettably, well-known states and parties hampered all those initiatives through convincing the armed terrorist groups to reject any initiative and to target civilians inside their schools, homes in Western Aleppo. Indeed, to dig in the eastern part of Aleppo, use civilians as human shields and kill any civilians trying to leave through the safe corridors, just like what happened on the 17th of this month when 17 civilians were executed for protesting against the practices of terrorist groups. This stresses once again, this fact shows that these armed terrorist groups are a means of blackmail in the hands of some states to achieve cheap political agendas at the expense of the suffering of the Syrian people and their blood. Mr. President, the Syrian Arab Republic rejects the selective approach by some states and UN bodies in dealing with the humanitarian crisis in Syria. We stress that the main reason for the non-arrival of humanitarian assistance in many regions is the following. One, the siege being laid by terrorist groups on entire areas and rejection of any assistance thereto. Two, the targeting by armed terrorist groups of humanitarian convoys. Three, insecurities in the regions where terrorist groups are deployed, including targeting civilian aircraft or any convoys carrying assistance and attacking humanitarian workers, and then selling the assistance. Four, the politicization of the humanitarian file in Syria and double standards by some states and organizations who choose to concentrate on the humanitarian situation in some areas for political aims while fully ignoring entire other regions. Five, a lack of cooperation and coordination with the Syrian government and resorting to agreements with NGOs that are not accredited in Syria or organizations working in Gaziantep and infiltrating Syrian borders from there. This is unacceptable. Six, a lack of funding for the humanitarian response plans. Some states did not fulfill their promises to fund the response plan for 2016. Let me recall, implementation rate of 33%. I repeat, 33%. And seven, and finally, a delay in the implementation of projects and programs and various activities in the response plans. In conclusion, Mr. President, the Syrian people have become sick of all these mendacious statements and hypocritical initiatives, as well as misleading reports that have flooded the Security Council and the United Nations in general on a daily basis over the past 5 years without any humanitarian effect to be enjoyed by the Syrian people. Indeed, their suffering has increased exponentially because some within and without the Security Council only wish to feed the crisis and perpetuate it. As for the assistance that did arrive, and Ms. Hoff did state that millions of Syrians benefited from that assistance, well, that was done because of coordination with the Syrian government. And please consider that 70 to 75% of the assistance provided was provided by the Syrian government itself, not the United Nations, despite the siege being laid by sponsors of terrorism against us and coercive measures that have been upon us now for years. I thank you, Mr. President.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.